101.9 FM, Sundays from 2 to 3 p.m. and on CFRC.ca a few seconds later, or you can check it out at your leisure.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM.
Hey everybody, it's Terry.
And Sherry.
And it's Thursday, and it's 30 Years of Nonsense.
It sure is.
Yeah, it is gorgeous outside. It's beautiful. We were driving in here and we just parked and we got out. And I know last week we talked a lot about Ozzy, and it's so funny. We were driving down and we get out of the car and I can hear Mr. Crowley playing in the background. And I'm like, where's this coming from? And it was literally a guy wearing like a helmet with a mohawk kind of on top of it. And like a full-on dirt bike helmet, and he had an old ghetto blaster literally strapped to his bike, and literally boombox just like flying down the street playing Mr. Crowley. It was crazy.
Yeah, it did grab your attention.
It sure did. I was like, oh,
I was trying to pay for parking, get my bag, get the pass to get in here, and he was jamming out to Mr. Crowley.
It was wild
watching this guy drive down the street on a bike.
Yeah, and it was one of the like electric scooters. It was just so funny. I was like, man, this guy's got it going on. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's been a great day. It's been a long day already.
Well,
too.
You've already been to Oakville and back.
Yeah, I
or
was.
Hamilton,
actually,
I think you said.
Yeah, I was just on the other side of Hamilton, down in the Niagara Escarpment this morning for like 9 a.m. And then I zipped back so I could make sure I made the show.
So for context, folks, when we leave to come down here for the show, we have to leave our house about 3 o'clock to make sure that we're on time. We always meet at the house and bring one car down. And I came in at 2:30 and promptly found Terry snoring on the bed.
Oh, I was sound asleep. I got back around just about 2:05 and
had a nap.
I had a nap. I needed
a
nap.
We were up together this morning at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, it was
really early. Normal people aren't up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
No, just us. It was busy on the highway, and then there was an accident coming home, so I had to get detoured off the highway, and what should have been a 4-hour drive was almost 5 hours. It was kind of stupid, actually, I've got to be honest. But
you got to stop booking things on Thursdays.
Yeah.
Try not to go on Thursday
anymore.
My fault,
but in all honesty, it's been a great day. The weather's beautiful. It's just the sun's shining. I got to listen to some really great podcasts and listen to great music.
And we have an exciting meeting after this.
Yeah, we do.
We're not going to share the details of, but we have an exciting meeting.
We have lots going on, and I'm pretty excited, and I'm pumped to talk about our music again today.
Okay.
So we've got some really great bands. We're talking about New Order, Johnny Cash, Depeche Mode, The Commodores, and Erasure. So kind of just following on from our kind of music of influence.
So part two of last week.
Yeah, and it's really part three because you and Karen started it
a week ago.
It's
a whole series.
So it is a kind of a little mini series of music. And then next week, we're going to talk about bands that became other bands. So, and for me, I don't know what band you're going to choose that as your starting point, but for me next week, it's going to be the House Martins. So again, another band of influence for me in the 80s. The House Martins branched off to the Beautiful South, and then they became, you know, they broke away again, and then you've got Fatboy
Slim. Don't give it away.
Yeah,
that's
I know, but I'm just saying.
I have my hand up, though, for the audience who can't see us, just to tell Terry. I'm not sure I'm going to be here next week.
Oh, really? So it might be a solo show?
Or you might have Kieran again.
Yeah.
So I'll share it in our weekend update, but we're doing another DIY Like a Girl workshop.
Okay.
They're very popular.
Yeah. And you're doing it in Belleville
in
next
Belleville.
Week, right?
So I have to work out my timing from being off the air at 5 o'clock and being in Belleville ready to speak intelligently at 6:30.
Well, you know.
So I can probably do it, but it's tight, and I need to speak with my partners about it in the planning on Monday, Tuesday, just to make sure we're all coordinated, because I definitely won't be there for the setup.
Maybe you come and hang out from 4 to 4:30 and then take off.
Maybe.
And then Karen can jump in for the last half hour or whatever, and you can prep all the stuff that
Or you could practice solo, because you were just telling me how excited you are, so he's interested in doing a solo show, which would be in one of the overnight slots that's coming available here on this radio station, which is what, like midnight to 2 a.m.?
Midnight to 2 a.m. on Fridays.
And
I'm hoping I get the spot.
I am zero interested in participating in that.
So, I'm really excited. I'm hoping. I've been prepping some music and getting it ready and looking at it, and I've got my first night of music already prepped, and I'm super pumped.
I keep saying I'll listen on replay the next morning, because between midnight and 2 a.m. I am sleeping.
Yeah, and I mean, I have my regular gig that goes from basically a 7 to 11 on Friday nights, and then we would pack up and then head straight here to the studio.
What would you do with the equipment, though? Because you're not going to park it down
no,
here.
No, no, you would take it.
Well, that means I have to stay till the end.
Yeah, yeah. And then and then we'll take separate cars. And
for those of us who know you, or for those of you who know us, I sometimes like to scoot early.
I know, but this would be perfect. So we would take two cars. You would take the equipment home.
Am I going to then also put it in the garage when I get home?
No, you'll leave it for me. I'll do it when
okay,
I get in.
Okay, because I'm not doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. And then literally I will just head down here right from the other gig right here, get into the studio, get prepped, get going, and then you know it's going to be like some house music, some dance, some hip hop.
It's Terry After Dark.
It is what's called Into the Darkness, right? Is the show is going to be called is if I get the show, it's yeah. And it's going to be great. And I'm going to start with some like really good EDM and stuff like that, and bring it back to the beginning of where house music came from as well. So like old house music and stuff like that. So.
Okay, what are we going to do today?
Well, we're going to talk about New Order. Sorry.
Way down the rabbit hole. I can see him spiraling. Yeah. I had to pull him out of there.
So we've talked about New Order before. One of my favorite 80s synth rock bands. We just saw them last year with Pet Shop Boys.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
It was great.
Ontario Place, which is not called Ontario Place anymore.
Well, it's still Ontario Place.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, but the music venue itself is no longer called. It used to be the Band Shell, remember?
Yeah, what's it called now?
I have no idea.
Right.
It's Budweiser Stadium.
Okay.
So
it was at Ontario
yeah,
Place.
Yeah, it was at Ontario Place. The stage doesn't rotate anymore. Do you remember when it used to rotate the stage?
No, maybe you had consumed some things that made you think it was rotating. I don't know. I do remember Gowan fell off of his piano there.
Yeah. But no, the stage used to rotate. Come on.
Okay.
But anyway, that doesn't happen anymore. But it was a fantastic show. And I remember it was the first night of the tour. And it was basically in Canada. And it was a determination of who would open for who. Mm-hmm. So Pet Shop Boys were opening one night. And then New Order opened the other. And you didn't know which set they were playing either, because they had released two different sets. So it was, for me, it was really exciting.
We had fun. I really liked that night because you and I were dancing outside, and I literally for a minute felt like we were 18 again.
Yeah,
it was really fun.
We're standing in the grass just
dancing.
Yeah, being a kid again. It was a great time. I mean, I can recommend anybody going to see one of the 80s bands again, that, you know, if you're in our kind of our age bracket, 40s, 50s, like, just it was so much fun. It was great,
and their voices have held.
Yeah, well, you got to think the guys from Pet Shop Boys are 71 and 73 respectively. Mm-hmm. And then the guys in New Order, they're in the same age group, right?
Oh,
they're like
got
late 60s.
To do a full 2-hour show.
Yeah. And I mean, Pet Shop Boys don't sing a lot, or not Pet Shop Boys. New Order doesn't sing a lot. They're more instrumental more than anything, really, right? Like, if you think about their stuff. And we're going to start off today with a great song. I mean, this is, and I'm not going to tell you, or do you remember the movie where Shell Shock comes from?
Pretty in Pink?
No.
Yeah, it was.
Was it Pretty in Pink?
I'm pretty sure it was Pretty in Pink. I had the CD, or not the CD, sorry. I had the soundtrack on a little pink cassette.
Yeah, the Pretty in Pink. Oh, you're right. It is Pretty in Pink.
Probably in our garage.
Why did I think it was?
It was definitely Pretty in Pink.
Yeah, I thought it was something else. But anyway, you know, I got too many songs in my head. But anyway, let's start with a little Shell Shock. We'll come back. We've talked a ton about this band, so we don't need to tell you all about their beginnings and their, you know, going on. But let's play a little.
Maybe we'll get more music in today than us.
Yeah. So let's start off with a little New Order, Shell Shock. I mean, it's great. This is one of my favorites, like I said.
Yeah.
side. So that reminds me of every nightclub in the 80s and early 90s.
Oh, that's a great tune.
In Toronto, right? Like Shell Shock was huge. And you're right, it was pretty in pink. I was thinking of Breakfast Club, and I don't know why I was thinking of
It's okay.
Yeah, whatever.
You know what reminds me of that time in the clubs as well? And we never play this or talk about it. There might be a reason. But She Was a Male Stripper in a Go-Go Bar.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember dancing to that song?
Yeah.
That was a crazy song. And that, like, literally, as soon as I hear that, that's where my brain goes.
No, we can play that.
Can we play it clean enough?
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing inappropriate about that song, words-wise, other than, you know, she was a dancer in a go-go bar.
Okay.
But, you know, what I really love about New Order, and you can even see it here on the screen here, is their album covers were so complex, right? They had a lot of visuals and stuff. And when you were doing some of this research, I didn't know this, but Peter Saville, who was part of the band, he actually did all the covers. So that was his thing, was just doing these really cool eclectic covers. And what I did find out, which I also thought was crazy, was when they released Blue Monday as a single, it lost money because the cover was so complex and all these die cuts and everything to make this really cool and unique Blue Monday cover, that every copy they sold cost them money.
Well, you had to have a physical product back in that day.
Yeah.
And you could, like, now there's nothing.
Yeah, well, that's air. I miss that. I miss going to it, you know, I get lost in music stores, as you know.
Yes.
Right? Just going into a record store.
You ever want to lose him, take him to a music store.
Yeah, just take me, like, any type of music store, even if it's instruments or whatever, I just get lost in it because I just find it so interesting. It doesn't matter if it's an oboe or a piano or whatever it is. I just love music stores and I love record stores and CDs and vinyl and just paraphernalia, all that kind of different stuff related to music.
I saw something recently. Do you remember when either in the album or in the cassette cover slip, you had to open it to see the words to the songs?
The word sheets, yeah.
Yeah, I miss that. Now I've actually noticed on my system that I listen to music on, if you click some weird button, the words come up.
Oh, yeah, you've got a karaoke version.
Is that what that is?
It's to help you sing along.
It freaks me out every time I touch it by mistake.
But it's a microphone. It's right there. It's on all of them.
Oh, okay.
For this. But, you know, it's just amazing. So, and I don't know if you remember this, like, Early on, New Order started a club. They actually opened their own nightclub in Manchester, and it was called the Hacienda Club.
Nope, I was never there.
No, I know. But it was always a dream of mine to get there as a DJ. There were so many cool places to go and play in the UK, and I always dreamed of playing in the Hacienda Club because it literally was ground zero for, like, house music, the rave scene, everything that literally we know in North America came from that place.
Oh, for sure.
It was the founding. And then, you know, it's crazy. I just love it. And then, you know, we were talking about bands changing, right? So you've got Andy. Yeah, it's no, not Andy Bell, because he was part of Erasure. It's Vince Clark. I don't know why it's got lost there, because I was looking at a couple of different things.
You're still trying to do next
week's show. No. Vince, no. I'm talking about, like, just how they changed. So you've got Vince Clark, who was a part of Depeche Mode early on, and then he leaves and he becomes Yazoo. But when you think of New Order, do you ever think about Joy Division? Because that's who New Order really was to begin with. And it's funny, because when we saw them in Toronto last year, the last song they played was actually Never Tear Us Apart. Love Will Tear Us Apart, sorry. And that's a Joy Division song, right? And they literally play that at every show.
They must have the rights to it.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's still all the founding members, or not all the founding members, but I think they've agreed amongst themselves that they all can play it, because Peter Hook, who was their bassist, he left the band in 2007, and he went on to play, make his own band, and he's called Peter Hook and the Light. And he does Joy Division, he does New Order, and he does his own stuff as well. I mean, but it's really cool. I mean, I love the fact that they all still play bits and pieces of it, and it makes me happy.
So remember before you played this song and you said, we're not going to tell you any more things about New Order? And then we came back on and it's now 17 minutes after and we're still talking about New Order?
Yeah.
How about we go to the next song?
Okay.
So the next pick was me, and I picked a Johnny Cash song, and not for any particular reason. I don't have a certain memory attached to it, but his voice is pretty nostalgic, and I'm sure I must have listened to him at my parents' house in the 70s or something, because that would have been the time for it. But I do find him to be quite an interesting character. So he was known as the Man in Black, and there was a reason behind that. It was more than just a fashion statement, but it was actually a protest. So his wearing black all the time was him standing up for the poor, the beaten down, living in hopelessness, and the hungry side of town. So he really was trying to speak up for the speechless, I guess, or the people who didn't have a voice, and he had a platform, which was interesting. He is very dark, though. He did spend a lot of time playing concerts in prison. He actually also had his own struggle with drugs and alcohol. So at one point, he was banned from the Grand Ole Opry because he smashed a mic stand against some lights in one of his states of drunk or drug-induced states. And he made his way back, though. And they said that he also once was so high that he thought he was in hell.
Wow, so I didn't know that. That's really crazy.
That's really high.
But we did learn a really cool fact, and I know you've got it here as well. But when we were in Nashville, we heard, you know, about Merle Haggard. And Merle Haggard was actually in San Quentin at the time when he attended and played a show there. And he had such an influence on Merle Haggard when he was in San Quentin that Merle Haggard actually turned his life around and became an artist after hearing Johnny Cash play in prison. Which is a really neat
That is, fact. I mean, that's probably the reason he did it. Most people go in there to provide hope or a different path in life.
Even when you think about Jelly Roll, right? Like Jelly Roll had his struggles and, you know, and he's basically, how I see Jelly Roll is he is the Johnny Cash of today.
Yeah.
So he's had his things and whatever, but he spends his time walking the streets with the homeless, feeding them, going to youth centers, doing all the things, you know, people talk about.
Right.
He lives it. He does it. And it's great because when I saw him perform last year, he had literally spent, he was so excited to tell everybody he got to spend time with people that people wouldn't normally spend time with.
Right.
So it was pretty cool. So that's how
inspirational.
It is. And that's how I see Jelly Roll as Johnny Cash of today.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, why don't we go ahead and play Ring of Fire, I believe I picked.
Okay.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring, bound by wild desire. I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. Fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. The taste of love is sweet when hearts like ours meet. I fell for you like a child. Oh, but the fire went wild. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Hello, tis I, DJ Tangent. You may know me from episodes of Making Bacon, such as the St. Patrick's Day special, the Homegrown Live preview show, and the Spring Reverb extravaganza. I have my own show now called Numbers with Wings. Join me, and I will take you on a voyage through garage rock, punk, post-punk, cowpunk, Paisley Underground, and more, all viewed through my, some say, unique perspective. I will be broadcasting live on CFRC 101.9 FM, Sundays from 2 to 3 p.m., and on CFRC.ca a few seconds later, or you can check it out at your leisure.
So there's got to be 50 commercials in here that I can pick from, and I literally just picked the one that was on before we started the show.
I know.
Random.
It's okay. I like DJ Tangent. He's a great guy.
He is. I just didn't mean to pick one we just listened to 20 minutes ago.
That's okay. He's got a new show coming out, so it's perfect. We're just promoing his show.
And now he owes us two.
Yeah.
So when we finally get a promo put together for us,
yeah,
we will have him promo it for us.
I guess. I'm not too worried.
Okay. What are we talking about next?
We're going to talk about Depeche Mode. I mean,
Depeche, we kind of did already.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about Depeche Mode in the past for sure. There's so much to talk about them. I loved seeing them in concert. Their show, I saw them a couple of times, but one of their biggest shows that I ever saw was Route 66 when they did that album. And they just came out, and there was big sirens, and their screens were incredible. And these big sirens are horns on top of the stage, and the fog and stuff coming out of it, and just the theatrics of it. I thought they were amazing. And they put on such a really good live show. It was them, and it was in the CNE exhibition grounds when it was still the CNE, when that still existed.
In my memory, I'm getting Depeche Mode and Duran Duran confused. I don't know why.
I'm thinking either.
About both of them. It was all the same time.
Yeah.
And I'm confusing them in my mind for sure, because I was thinking, oh, that was Simon LeBlanc. But no, he was in Duran Duran, right?
Yeah.
And they made like a significant impact on fashion.
Yeah.
We should one day talk about 80s fashion. It was crazy.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know if it was crazy. I mean, it's come back and it's gone and it's come back a few times. But it's the, you know, right now with even just our son is wearing stuff of mine from the 80s and 90s, which is crazy, and people are loving it.
You're very stylish, that's why.
Yeah, but it's funny because I bought a shirt, and it's, you know, I'll kind of detour as I always do. I bought a shirt from Tommy Hilfiger.
Tell the story. It's a silly story.
It is a silly story. Are we going to talk about where I bought the shirt and the whole story behind it?
It's a nonsense story.
It is. So we lived in Barrie at the time. Our daughter was
in
a baby.
A car seat.
In a car seat. Mm-hmm. And we drove from Barrie down through Niagara Falls all the way to somewhere just outside of New York City.
Like Maine or something.
Yeah. And I bought a shirt from Tommy Hill. I went to a Tommy Hilfiger warehouse in the States that was run by his sister, Betsy Peterson Hilfiger. And I bought this first of many, and they were called PIM shirts, P-I-M. I remember it. And it, the one that I bought there, I bought two of them. I bought the golf shirt and the dress shirt, and they were all around F1 when Tommy Hilfiger started sponsoring F1 30 years ago.
Right.
And it's funny that now with the movie that just came out, F1, they're showing this shirt. I've owned it for 30 years.
Well, there's a whole movement as well that really appreciates vintage stuff. So it blends really well together with vintage and F1 being current again.
Yeah.
So it's funny though, because as you tell that story, I do remember you saying like, hey, we should go down to the States, when people used to go to the States to go shopping.
Yeah.
We used to go to Buffalo all the time and have Ted's hot dogs.
Yeah.
And
telling somebody about Ted's hot dogs. I said, if you go to Buffalo, it's a must do. I mean, I know they talk about buffalo wings and all the different things there.
Ted's hot dogs.
Ted's hot dogs is
and
for me.
Their cheese fries.
Yeah.
Every time. Anyways,
absolutely.
We digressed again. But you said, oh, don't worry, hon. It's just past Buffalo.
Well, that's what I believed.
No, that's what you told me.
But we didn't have GPS back then.
You also sometimes under-exaggerate to get your way. So I suspect you knew how far it was.
I didn't know it was that far.
That it was just like, past Buffalo.
It was like 6-hour drive.
But it was also, and I don't remember what it was, but they were like $200 shirts.
Oh, it was crazy.
And I remember being annoyed because we were just starting our life and we certainly didn't have $400 to spend on two shirts for you.
But we did it.
But we did it anyways because you always put things in the context of, it's just one night of DJing.
Yeah.
You've spent money that your DJing is going to pay for till you're 110 probably.
Oh, amazing.
Because you're always like, it's
for
one
sure.
DJ. And you guys now use, oh, it's one house, Mom. Don't worry about it. Yeah, so yeah. That's your context for things. Anyways, all that said, that I was thinking that we should talk about like one day people who influenced fashion in the 80s, because you could think about like the Flashdance era.
Think about Madonna.
And I was literally just going to say Madonna and Prince and even like Duran Duran.
Well, you think about Wham.
Yeah,
we should have Culture Club.
That.
Yeah,
all the beads and
yeah,
crazy
absolutely.
Things. Yeah, maybe we'll do that in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll do that when you get back, okay. If
what
you're
are we
not
doing
around.
Today, though? Sorry, we're still talking about Depeche Mode.
Yeah, Depeche Mode, right? So in the concert I remember them with was with Public Image Limited, and that was Johnny Rotten. Again, you think about Johnny Rotten was a part of the Sex Pistols, and then after, you know, the whole Sid Vicious thing, he became Johnny Linden of Public Image Limited, and he was whipping around on a four-wheeler, and then he crashed it off the stage. Like, there was all sorts of craziness going on. But this was like one of those amazing concerts. So, yeah, it just brings me back. So this is, I mean, they started off as a real pop, bright, fun band, and then they got a little dark.
Okay.
Like they had blasphemous rumors and that, and which is, I'm going to play.
I like this song.
I love this song too, but they've got some, you know, really dark stuff as well. So, but Route 66, I mean, I remember getting to drive that the first time and I was like,
you were very excited about it.
I was super excited that I got to drive Route 66 that I've been hearing about forever. So anyway, let's play a little Depeche Mode. We've been talking a lot today. So
we do that every week.
I know, but I'm loving this today. All right, here we go, guys. A little Depeche Mode. Route 66. No, blasphemous rumors. What am I saying?
Thank you. Tom Savage. We love our Spotify. We love our Apple Music. It's a wonderful thing to have all the music in the world at your fingertips. But the big downside is that these streaming services pay fractions of a penny per streamed artist, and that doesn't buy a lot of groceries. So if you're really digging an album, reach out to that musician or band, make a donation, buy some physical merchandise, help them keep creating great music for you. We can't rely on giant corporations to do the right thing. We as music fans need to put our own value on music. Let's keep that creative engine going.
I love that PSA. I really do, because
I'll never find it again.
No, but I love that PSA because it talks about helping musicians stay afloat and do things. And you know, every time we go to a concert, I always buy a concert shirt. And part of that, you know, it's one is to remember being there and being a part of it. And I love concert tees. The other part is I'll buy drumsticks, or I'll buy a CD, or I'll buy a guitar pick or whatever it is, or their book. And it's to help support them because they don't get to do it the same way they did in the 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. That money's just not there. A lot of them don't have physical albums or whatever. Or if they do have CDs, I tend to buy one, even if it's an old one or a copy that I have, because I think it's super important that we do support the music industry, or it's going away.
The arts is the one thing that unites us, and I think worldwide unites us. We've talked about the fact that you can go anywhere in the world and every single person can sing Don't Stop Believing.
That is
the one thing that unites us.
So it's crazy. I was listening to a really cool mix of Tayo Cruz's Dynamite and Don't Stop Believing as a remix today, and I'm like, I'm gonna do that remix.
Oh, cool.
It was so good. I was like, man, this DJ's killing it. So yeah, when I was driving back from being out down in
Toronto.
No, I was going to say, you said Oakville, but it was Hamilton. Okay. But anyway, coming back, it doesn't matter. Coming back, I was listening to some really cool music, and that was like a crazy remix. And I was like, I had to play it over again. I was like, hang on, did I just hear Tayo Cruz, Dynamite, and Don't Stop Believing mixed together? I played it 3 or 4 times, and I was like, oh, what a great remix of this song. It was just unbelievable. Anyway, let's talk about the weekend, because we got a ton going on, even though it's not busy.
We're in the dog days of summer.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful, actually. We're quite enjoying them.
Yeah.
So we're not frantic. And, well, from my perspective, even the real estate market is not frantic. August is one of the slowest markets in real estate.
I did hear a fact on the radio driving in this morning.
What
that
did
the
you
real
hear?
Estate market is up by 10.
Why are you
10?
Making that voice?
Because that's how the guy sounded. The real estate market is by 10.2% or something.
Well,
I don't know.
I'll give you the stat, actually.
Yeah.
July was the first month, I think, since, I'm going to say, 2019, that month over month, we had an increase in sales.
Yeah.
Because we've been on a steady decline for a very long time. Inventory is very high, buyers are very low, and July was the first month that there was a positive sign of recovery.
But they did say in it, the guy was like,
Stop doing that. You sound like Eeyore.
Oh, okay. But he did say that the cost of houses have gone down. He said one has to reflect the other.
Would you like me to explain that?
Yeah, I would love you to.
Supply and demand.
Yeah,
so
I guess.
So there's a lot of supply on the market right now, a surplus of supply. As such, when there's lots of choice and lots of supply, then prices go down, which is exactly what is happening, particularly in the Toronto condo market right now.
Oh my gosh, the guy said 16,000 condos or something. Another 4 went on the market this month.
Oh, for sure, yes. So that was not what we were going to talk about. We were going to talk about what we're doing on the weekend, and I was saying that the real estate market's pretty quiet. But I'm open if anybody has anything they'd like to have a look at.
You got a ton of stuff, too, so that's good.
I do have lots going on.
Yeah, and you get 2 more coming on the market next week, right?
I do, yep.
So that's great.
It's only great when they sell.
Yeah, but eventually. Daddy gets more shoes, as I like to say. Although I'm not DJing Friday night, I did do this great gig on Saturday night last weekend.
That was really fun.
So up at our trailer park up in Singleton Lake Campground. So shout out to those guys. They have a great place. And Pete and Urena, and it was a really good time. I was doing a kids event from 7 to 9 and then from 9 to 11. I thought I was going to be able to mix in some music trivia and do that stuff. Boy, was I surprised. So I show up and I get stopped at the gate, and one of the guys is like, hey, just so you know, buddy over here is having his bachelor party tonight, and So I, once I parked, I went back and talked to him. He's like, okay, dude, I'm doing a country wedding and we're practicing line dancing. So here's 11 different songs I want you to mix throughout the night. And I'm like, okay, I'm not sure I'm going to do this with trivia, but all right, I took it down and whatever. Anyway, kids dance was great. And then they had lots of fun. They hit some crazy songs.
They were going crazy for the fog machine.
The fog machine
and
the lights.
Every time you let the fog off, all the kids ran screaming and running.
So I should have had more fog machines with me. It was a lot of fun. And then as soon as the adult party started, it was like one song after another, and people just started showing up with deck chairs and climbing onto the benches, and there was people dancing on picnic tables. It was out in the grass.
But 95% country music.
It was, yeah, I played.
You played a couple of, like, you played a couple of rock songs?
Rock songs, yeah. Like,
like Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Yeah, and then.
But it was to that target demographic.
Yeah, it was like an older demographic. And then when I say older, I'm going to say 35 plus. But then you had this group of guys that were doing this.
Bachelor party,
right? Mm-hmm. And when I threw on Fake ID,
that's a great song.
For that, I mean, the whole crowd went into a circle, and the groom started doing his line dance, and then everybody joined in.
And those guys could dance.
That
it
guy
was
could
great.
Dance.
And the other funny thing I thought was some people were dancing in Crocs.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you dance in Crocs.
I don't know. They were in speedy mode or whatever. There's casual mode and then speedy. They're strapped, depending on where your strap is or whatever. I don't know. But it was a lot of fun just watching these guys just literally throw down, hoe down. It was great. And they went the whole time. We did Footloose. We did Boot Scoot and Boogie. And then, man, I feel like a woman. Like, there was just song after song just hit after hit. And these people just danced. But literally at 11 o'clock, shut it down. Boom, done, gone.
Well, what's crazy about our campsite is I walked back to the trailer by myself because you were still tearing down.
Yep.
Not a light in the entire campsite at like 11:10. So not even people's trailer lights were still on. Nobody was having a campfire. Mind you, we're under a burn ban.
Yeah.
And I was literally, I didn't even have my phone with me, which that means it was a really good night because I didn't have my phone with me. So I wasn't looking. So I had no flashlight. And I kind of made my way basically in the dark back to the trailer.
But if you go on to Stage One Sound, you'll see a couple of videos from the night.
Really,
they had a really good time. Yeah. And they've already booked me for a couple of shows for next year.
Nice.
There. So yeah, that'd be good. And then so this weekend, like I said, Friday night,
we're not
planned.
Doing trivia. We're taking a break.
Yeah, we're taking a break for all of August. So that's great. And then Saturday, little Jeep repair.
Yeah, we have home stuff, things to do.
And then we're going to the trailer.
Probably.
Saturday night. And then we got a bunch of people coming up on Sunday to the trailer. So do some wakeboarding, hang out, and have a bunch of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our friends is growing his annual helmet. So we have a friend, you know, Devin, and his head is so big it won't fit into any helmet.
And he's not even kidding.
And I'm not kidding you. I've got some, we should post a video of this. He literally, last year, we carved a watermelon
helmet
so he could wear a watermelon helmet while he was wakeboarding. This year, he's told us he's growing a pumpkin. So he's got a pumpkin helmet that he's going to wear this year. So we'll get some videos up of that. So yeah, so we're going to have a bit of fun on the lake this weekend. Hopefully we won't have any watermelon helmets, but we'll definitely have a lot of fun going out there and doing some wakeboard and hanging out with our friends and, you know, just doing it upright. So
yep, sounds great. The other thing that I will take the opportunity just to promote more formally is that we are doing another, like I said, DIY Like a Girl workshop. It is next Thursday evening and it is in Belleville. We're trying to expand due to demand. We've had two in Kingston now, two popular demand, and one of the members that puts them on with me has actually moved a little bit west of Toronto.
Okay.
And I have two, soon to be three, listings in Picton. So we're spreading our wings out that way a little bit more. So we're having a little bit further reach out there. But they're really great. So again, those are targeted for women who are in home ownership on their own for any number of great reasons. But it's a really great hands-on workshop. And we're going to show you what's behind a sink and what's a washer and how do you caulk a bathtub and all sorts of things that our dads probably didn't teach us.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, when I stopped in at the end of the last one, I was super impressed of how cool it really was.
Yeah, it was really good.
I know. Opportunity to stand at the back and just listen and, you know, and learn. These ladies are fantastic.
We've talked about this before, but you absolutely admire my female home inspector.
Yeah.
And she's like the favorite home inspector you've ever met. So we'll not spend too much more time on that because we want to get back to the music. But if anybody is interested, there is an Eventbrite, there is a Facebook event. You can also look it up on any of my socials, which is stage1realestate.ca, and hopefully we'll see lots of people there.
Let's share it on mine too. So,
okay.
So anyway, let's talk about the Commodores. I mean, this is your pick again. So you've really gone into the Motown genre here with this one. So.
Like I mentioned, I was trying to do my early memories, 70s, 80s, 90s, and into today. So I was stretching right into the memory bank. And the funny thing about this song is I remember once, twice, three times a lady being probably the first time I slow danced with a boy.
Really?
And it might have been like grade six. So we're talking public school. We're not talking high school dances. We're talking first time we had boy-girl parties, first time that there was...
Sounds like a 45 to me.
A what? A 45.
A 45. Oh, somebody's record, playing the music on a 45.
So that's where this song is automatically going to transport me back to the school gym at Heather Heights, which is crazy. But that was like the first time.
That's in Scarborough, right?
It is in Scarborough, yeah. Yes. And it's just funny because that's what I remember. So I wanted to play this one to share it with everybody, and hopefully it brings back some positive memories for them as well. But things about the Commodores that are interesting is they did form in the 1960s when they were all attending university in Alabama, which is interesting. And Lionel Richie was the founding member. He is now an icon, obviously.
Music icon.
Yeah. It was before his massive solo career, but he was the group's co-lead singer, songwriter, and saxophonist.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know he played an instrument. I just thought he was vocals.
Nope.
Oh, pretty cool.
Multi-talented. They were known to be, they could give funk and feel at the same time. And so I like that phrase, funk and feel. And they did songs like Brick House, which I just said to you, that was the Commodores.
Yeah, I love Brick House.
I do like this song.
I play, when I'm doing a full-on multi kind of line of different music in a function, Brick House is in my go-to.
It's in your list. Yeah,
absolutely.
There was something you played on Saturday night. It was something like Pour Some Sugar on Me or vice versa. And I knew exactly what you were going to play next because in my head,
they
go together.
You said that to me. You go, oh, I go, what was it? You're like, you're going to play, You Shook Me All Night Long next. And I went, it's already queued up.
Yeah, I know. Those two go together, though. They make perfect sense.
They do.
So speaking of Brick House, it was almost an accident. The hit Brick House was originally an instrumental until one band member's wife wrote the lyrics as a joke.
Really?
And it ended up becoming one of their biggest and a funk anthem.
Yeah, it's a fantastic song.
I think this is interesting. They opened for the Jackson 5. So before the Commodores got on their own and kind of established themselves, they opened for the Jackson 5.
Do you know where that happened and when that happened? That's got to be
early 70s.
Yeah, that's got to be super early 70s. I mean, by 78, 79, Michael's gone and he's left the Jackson 5. That band's kind of disbanded and everybody's doing their own thing, LaToya and stuff like that. And Janet. They're all off doing their own thing, but the Commodores literally...
They kept going, right?
Yeah, they were Motown. They're Motown gold.
Well, what did I say? Funk and feel?
Funk and feel, baby. That's
all
great.
Right. So we're going to play Three Times a Lady, and it was considered to be a game changer. It was written by Lionel Richie, and the ballad was number one on the hit Billboard Hot 100 and marked the band's crossover into the pop charts. So
off of
rhythm and blues and things like that. And it opened the door to Lionel Richie's solo career, who is still very active. He's on American Idol, I think.
Yeah.
And he's mentoring people and still making residual money off of all the amazing things he did.
Well, he still sounds fantastic. That guy's got just one of these smooth, silky voices.
He does, for sure. So let's play it.
All right, let's do this.
Something I must say out loud. You once, twice, three times later.
joys, my pains. You've made my life worth living for. And if I had to live my life over again, dear, I'd spend each and every moment.
Is Stairway to Heaven, Run for Its Money on the time.
It does, actually.
It's crazy.
I didn't realize it was that long when
yeah,
I picked it.
6 minutes, 43 seconds.
We also just realized if I was in grade six, you were in grade three.
Yeah.
And you were probably in Ireland.
Yeah, I wasn't even here yet.
Right?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. So it came out in what, 78, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I was just getting here. We have 4 minutes. How long is the next song?
3 minutes, 6 seconds.
All right. Can you talk in less than a minute about it?
Oh, yeah, I can. So okay. Erasure is a great band. I mean, again, you've got Vince Clarke, who left Depeche Mode right after the first album, Speak and Spell. He comes, he joins Yazoo, and then him and Andy Bell become Erasure. And Erasure was an amazing band. I saw them as well. I loved Erasure. They were so much fun. They were like the hype. If you think about like just a band jumping around, being so excited, flamboyant, like it was great. The other guy in the band, Andy Bell, he is an LGBTQ icon in South America. They love that guy. He was
that
like,
was early days.
It
for that.
Was, and he was all about it right from day one. He was, listen, I'm a gay singer and this is it, and love me, go on about it, and didn't, you know, no qualms
made
about
no
it
apologies.
Ever, made no apologies for it, and
nor should he.
No, not at all, and they were great. I loved it. The band's name was inspired from a movie actually that Andy Bell had seen called Eraserhead. It's a 1977 movie, and I don't know how Erasure comes from that, but there's a myth that it came from the tape they used marked for Eraser.
All right.
As an eraser.
Okay. I think you used your minutes. So we need to sign off and play it out with this.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's play it out. I mean, you guys, I'm going to tell you all about the bands and their kind of their transformation next week, and where they came from and, you know, Joy Division, the whole thing to get here. But anyway, guys, enjoy this song. This is one of my favorites by Erasure. It's called Ola Moore. Oh, hang on.
Are you playing it?
I was going to play it, and then I should have just...
Oh, remember the times I got banged off for technical difficulties?
Well, it's different. Anyway, guys, have a great week. We'll see you next week. Stay safe.